This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Well, hello everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another week's edition of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. You know, I remember hearing as a child a little nursery rhyme or folk wisdom or whatever that said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me.
That's not true, Al.
You know, it's not.
And I knew it wasn't true when people would tell me that when I was a child to comfort me. It's just not true.
Well, it's not much comfort. I mean, it's more of a suck it up and get on with it, darling. That's kind of...
But, you know, that stuff does hurt.
Well, you know, the thing about it is that if somebody is mean to you physically, and we're talking playground bullying, we're not talking about abuse, but we're talking about just the playground kind of stuff. If somebody pushes you or shoves you or punches you in the stomach, you can get over that, but you can relive a harsh word over and over and over. You can replay it forever in a way that you can't remember a playground scuffle.
That's the truth. And, you know, that's something that really concerns me right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because our kids are growing up in a very different society than we did, Hal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for one thing, social media is all over the place. You know, you can't escape it. It used to be if someone was ugly to you at school, you could go home and you were safe and loved at home.
If there was a bully on the school bus, if you just made it out of that half hour window, then you were safe.
But now the bully can follow you home on Instagram and Snapchat and Twitter and Facebook. And the bullying can go on 24/7. And it's having an effect.
You know, I saw an article just a few days ago. It actually came out last week from the Centers for Disease Control. They said that in the age group of 10 to 14-year-olds, that suicide has now outstripped automobile accidents as cause of death among these early adolescents.
10 to 14 year olds.
This was,
that is shocking to me.
That is just astounding.
You know, what was really shocking to me about that statistic,
mm-hmm.
It's still more common for boys than for girls.
Mm-hmm.
But the rate for girls has tripled, Hal.
It has.
And I really think social media is to blame for that, because social media is girl town. You know, girls are into relationships.
Mm-hmm.
They're constantly communicating. And this gives those queen bees, those mean girls, a chance to follow somebody home and torment her at home.
Well, and unfortunately, I know, you know, a lot of kids, when they get into that early adolescent year, they, you know, it's not uncommon for what you would think of as a nice kid to sort of flex their muscles a little bit and see, maybe I can throw my weight around and push some people around. And you know, they may actually try being a bully just to see how that works.
Well,
and
I have friends who are the parents of bullies,
mm-hmm.
and friends who are the parents of kids who are being bullied. Yeah, it's all around. You know, we probably ought to make a whole episode for bullying. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about one small aspect of it today, Hal, because I really think that deserves its whole a whole episode.
It really does. We want to talk today about name calling, which it almost
sounds silly. It sounds silly, but it's not.
Well, it really isn't. And I mean, if you think back to your own childhood, you can probably think of a time when somebody called you an ugly name, and it can still sort of, you know, it still stings a little bit, even if it wasn't an ongoing type of thing. And the reality of it is, it's serious enough the Bible actually talks about it. You know, we think of it as, it's just kids being kids, and the kids are mean, but they get over it, and you just learn to deal with it. But you know what? The Bible talks about this. You know, in James chapter 3, it says that the tongue is an unruly evil full of deadly poison, and with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who've been made in the similitude of God. My brethren, these things ought not to be so.
Of deadly poison. That's pretty serious.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus, well, you know, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, or raka, it says in some translations, whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire.
Well, and then, you know, there's Titus 3, how, where it says that believers should speak evil of no one.
Yeah.
You know, the word there, I remember talking about this with you earlier, is blasphemeo, which means to slander or revile or speak reproachfully about someone.
Right. And when you blaspheme God, what are you doing? You are assassinating God's character.
Right.
You are denying God's holiness and God's righteousness in some way. And that's...
When we're speaking evil of others, it means we're speaking maliciously and untruthfully about them. And, you know, we can't do that. We just can't go there.
Well, is, you know, I was just in my devotions this morning. I was in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and Paul was warning the church there that they were not to tolerate amongst their members. They were not to tolerate men who were, and of course, by extrapolation, men, women, children, anybody, who were revilers. Now, there was a different Greek word involved, but the same idea of people who are harsh in their words toward one another and harsh in their condemnation of one another's character, that's not to go on in the church, not tolerated at all.
Well,
yeah. And so the Bible takes this seriously. This is the Bible does.
Well, you know, the word says be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. That's a very different picture than one who's reviling and accusing and mocking. And it's something that we've really got to exercise ourselves and that we've got to teach our children. I remember talking to someone who was our generation just recently who said that the only things they can remember their father calling them were names I can't even say on this program.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
And he said he was talking to his brother. And they were joking about, well, you know, you remember you were blankety blank and I was blankety blank. And I mean, these are curse words.
Yeah.
That their father used to refer to them.
Wow.
You know, and these men are now, you know, in their late 40s, early 50s, and it still hurts. There were tears in his eyes. It still hurts.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have friends whose husbands do that kind of thing.
Well, you know, I remember we've got a dear friend who is a wonderful sister in the Lord, but her relationship with her extended family was completely shattered when she was a teenager because she was one of those queen bee type girls, and she was a mean girl with a sharp tongue, and she bullied her younger siblings so badly that when she graduated and went off to college, they all breathed a sigh of relief. And while she was, I think it was in college or right afterwards, she was saved and she was transformed, and she came home and said, I've got to tell you something. This is great. This has changed my life. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me. And her family said, we don't want any of that. If it's something you're involved with, write us out.
Wow.
Wow. You know, and it's the power of the tongue. Jesus says the power of the tongue has the power of life and of death. And, you know, this is not just a schoolyard thing. Just say, oh, just grow up and
well,
get over
read
it.
Read your social media feed. People are being so nasty to each other as we get ready for the election tomorrow.
Yeah, that's you know, I remember running across that use of the word blasphemia some years ago when our church was studying through the book. I think it was Titus. And there was a warning about people that have that kind of a character. And I realized, you know what? I listen to talk radio. And there are some people who are rightly critical of different folks in the political world and different movements in the political world. They are ripe for criticism. And yet there are others who seem to take a personal joy in attacking it. That there are those who really have a reviling spirit in the way they present it. They're not all that way, but some are. And I had to realize, you know what? I need to be careful who I'm listening to because that is feeding my own attitudes toward other people.
We know it's easy to get that way. I remember an article that Tim Challies wrote on Challies.com that I just respected so much because he had really gone to town reviewing a particular book and teacher that he disagreed with. And then he saw that person at a conference later.
Yeah.
And he was embarrassed. He didn't want them to recognize him. And it showed him that he had not spoken with the love and concern that he should have, recognizing that was a real person. That was a real person with real feelings. Mm-hmm. And not to say that he shouldn't speak against the false teaching, but recognizing this is a person who may be someone that Jesus died for too.
I think that's an important thing because, you know, we are called to be discerning. Right. We are called to speak out against untruthfulness or lack of integrity or wrong of whatever sort. I mean, you can look at the example when Paul and Peter got into conflict because Peter was sort of getting hypocritical in his interaction with the Gentile believers because he was afraid the Jewish believers would condemn him and judge him over certain things. And Paul said, you know, Paul really not only criticized him, but wrote it into Scripture. It's in the Scriptures where Paul rightly condemned Peter for his hypocrisy. And there's times and ways to do that. And I think that's the critical thing. You know, that it's one thing for us to look at a person saying he is acting like a fool or he is speaking something which is untrue. That's not the same thing as saying that man is a fool. He is a liar.
Right.
That could be true, but we could misunderstand it. If God says that about certain people, but I'm not God.
Right.
My judgment is not pure. And so I think that's one thing that we need to recognize, that even when we do have to criticize, whether it's our children or our mate or someone in our church or someone in the community, we need to be careful that we're not tearing up their character, but focusing in, I think, on specific actions, specific words.
And sometimes it's just not our place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember we were talking about this several times recently, where in Acts 23,
mm-hmm.
Peter got...
It was Paul.
It was Paul. Paul got mad at the high priest. He didn't know he was high priest. But he got mad at this man, called him a whitewashed wall, and some other epithets.
Well, he was being abused by this guy.
Yeah, right. He was reacting reasonably and appropriately.
Yeah.
But then someone said, "How dare you speak like that to God's high priest?" And he said, "Oh, I didn't know he was the high priest. I shouldn't have said that."
Yeah.
And, you know, so sometimes it's just not our place
mm-hmm.
to say those criticisms, or we need to be careful that those criticisms are couched respectfully.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the upshot of it is we've got to act like believers. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of our mouths.
But only that which is for edification.
Right.
Yeah, let our speech be seasoned with salt. And that's not the same as salty speech. That's rather to be speech that has the preservative aspect of salt, the cleansing aspect of salt. And
that has been moderated by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and so that's something we need to take it seriously. Name-calling is not just kids on the playground. It's not just foolishness of the child. It's something that all of us, the most mature believer, has to keep a watch on our tongue.
Yeah.
To make sure that we don't have that reviling, even blaspheming type of spirit.
That we're not generalizing. You know, it's easy for us to look at the person who voted for the other guy or the other gal and say, they're an idiot, you know, or whatever. And we need to recognize, you know, they may be mistaken. Mm-hmm. If they disagree with me, they probably are. But anyway, they may be mistaken.
Well, if you thought they were mistaken, you'd change your mind, right?
Right. But we don't have to malign their whole intelligence and character and intentions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they're just genuinely mistaken. Maybe they've read bad information. You know, I remember talking to an elderly relative of mine one time who was voting for the other guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I talked to her, I realized she didn't really understand what this person stood for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she'd been watching, she didn't have cable. She'd been watching the three channels.
The major network TV.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, she had believed what she had heard there, and she really didn't understand what the election was about.
I think we need to be extra cautious about this, too, because of the way social media customizes our news feed. I've read about that, and I've started to observe it in my own news, you know, that if I read certain articles or I go to certain links, then Facebook or whatever will pick up on that and says, oh, he likes the ones that lean this direction. Let's give him more of what he likes.
And so you begin to see only people that agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's dangerous.
It is dangerous. So,
you know,
what
we need to talk about, how do we deal with this at home? How do we stop our kids' name calling?
Mm-hmm.
Why? How do we handle that issue? But first, we need to talk about our sponsor, Hal.
I think we should talk about schoolhouseteachers.com.
I have been going out there and picking out some stuff for our kids to do.
Heavy then.
And yeah, we just need to change it up a little bit. We're having a hard time really getting our feet under us this year. Mm-hmm. And we need to change it up. And there are some incredible courses out there. And you know, the thing that I didn't really understand before we became members mm-hmm. is that you know, you pay a small amount each month. Like you and I could barely go to McDonald's on it. Mm-hmm. Not no, we couldn't possibly take the kids.
Right.
You know, and yes. That covers everything. It covers all of all the courses they have, and they've got over 200 courses.
You know,
covers it, all the courses it has, covers all the planners, all the resources that are out there. It's mm-hmm. all included.
And it, you know, one of the nice things about this too is that you can work at your own pace. Yeah. That if you've got a kid with special needs, if your family is going through a rough patch, you know, maybe you need to stretch it out and take your time with it. Or maybe having this outside resource will free up mom and dad to focus on the crisis of the moment rather than having their noses stuck in the book, too. So there's lots of ways that this can be a part of your well-balanced homeschooling experience.
Well, we're just struggling to keep on. You know, one of our children is taking an online class. They mm-hmm. they have to stay on a particular schedule, and it's tough with our lifestyle.
Yeah. And so...
So it's self-directed. It's great. Go out to schoolhouseteachers.com. Tell them Helen Melanie sent you. So how should we deal with name-calling at home, Hal?
You know, one of the privileges of being a parent is that you get to call names. You get to give names. Have you thought about that?
You get to decide what their name is.
Yeah, I mean, we get to pick their name when they're born. And I know, I hear adoptive parents do that often when they adopt a child, that they will give them a new name. Do you realize that Jesus gave nicknames to his disciples?
I was very interested to hear you say that because... I grew up in one of these families that gave all kinds of nicknames. Mm-hmm. I can remember 100 things my parents called me. And I have fun and love. I had a very loving family.
Right.
And I'm not going to share them with you guys because I don't want anybody coming up to a conference and saying, hello, blank, you know.
Yeah, that was a family. Yeah.
That was a family. Okay.
Yeah.
But it was all in love in my family. Mm-hmm. And so I do that with our kids. I create all kinds of silly names for them.
Well, you know, when I think everybody realizes, oh, yeah, Peter was not really named Peter. His name was Simon. And Jesus, when he met Simon, he said, you are Peter. You are, or also Cephas is the Aramaic word. And upon this rock, yes, you are the rock. And on that rock, he was going to build the church. You know, that Peter, Simon Peter is what he was known after that. But that was a name that Jesus gave him. But also, you know, James and John, he called the Sons of Thunder. And, yes. And there's no elaboration about that, but I just always thought, what a cool nickname. So, hey, Son of God called me the Son of Thunder. How about that? Isn't that neat? Yeah. You know, and there's, I don't know if there's affection or if there's the paternal aspect of it, the creator
or
speaking
it was a
to his creation.
Or reminder of something they were working on or...
Yeah. Good or bad, I don't know. But names are significant. I mean, God changed the names of several of the patriarchs.
Like he changed Abram to Abraham.
Right.
So that he'd be known as the father of nations.
Right. And he changed the name. Jacob's name was the supplanter, you know, because he was the one that was always in competition with Esau, his twin brother. And yet when God chose him out and set him aside, that he named him Israel. Mm-hmm. He gave him the new name of Israel, which means God prevails. And which, you know, wow. Okay. So names are significant and nicknames are significant.
And the rule in our house mm-hmm. is you can't call anybody something they don't want to be called.
Yes.
That means if it's a shortening of their name, like I hate being called Mel.
Yeah, and so
I don't mind Melanie mm-hmm. or Melly even, but I don't like Mel.
Yeah.
And, you know, so in our house, if somebody calls you by a nickname you don't like, you just have to say, no, I don't like it. And people are not allowed to call you that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we do allow some trash talking and teasing.
Well, we've got boys, and they play football and go to the gym and stuff. So there's a little bit of back and forth stuff.
You know, I can lift more than you, protein.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, and that's okay. As long as it's in good spirit, it's not meant to hurt, and no hurt or offense is taken, then we allow that give and take and that back and forth.
Well, that's the critical thing, that no offense is taken.
Yeah.
You know, I think that just like we were talking about boys wrestling a few weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
when somebody says stop it or knock it off, it's got to stop.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you continue to call somebody something they don't want to be called after they've told you to stop, you get in big trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, you know, you got to stay on this, though, and you've got to develop an atmosphere in your house.
I think that your home should be a place where your family feels safe.
Yes.
Where you feel like, I don't have to have my guard up, other right. than to make sure that I'm not hurting anybody else, but I don't have to have my defenses up.
Yes.
In fact, you want the defenses to be down because that's how we can work with each other, you right. know? And if there's this constant back and forth, there's a constant battling, even if people say, oh, it's all just in good, it's in good fun. It's that can be very wearing. I've known some families that were like that. It was like the constant little dripping, you know, jabs at one another.
I remember many years ago
mm-hmm.
going, there were some kids that were just so smart mouth.
Uh-huh.
They were constantly sarcastic, constantly just speaking disparaging of other kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what is the deal here? And then I became good friends with the parents and I was able to spend some time in their home.
Yep.
And I found out they're that way because their parents are constantly smart mouthing and talking back.
They're
and
constantly sarcastic
and disparaging.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we need to teach our children, well, what does the Word of God say? To do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. We need to teach our kids to think about the other person. And, you know, trash talking within our family is one thing. You know, just the teenage boys, you know, ragging each other about who can lift the most or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not allowed to be ragging anybody who says, look, I don't want, just hush.
Yeah.
And they need to be sensitive to people outside the family because, you know, somebody outside the family may not even have the nerve to say hush.
You know, I think a lot of parenting, particularly as the kids get older, the parenting becomes less of direction and more of coaching.
Yeah.
To say, you know, son, daughter, you need to understand how your words impact other people.
Yeah.
And how your words are going to be misunderstood by people who don't know and love you and expect the best of you. You know, and we need to be coaching them and helping them to understand that we have a context that the rest of the world does not.
Yeah.
And maybe you can say something within our four walls and just in our family circle that would not be good out in public.
It's about relationship, Hal.
Yeah.
That, you know, you and I can tease each other some. Because we have a solid foundation of love and trust.
Yeah.
I know you love me. I know you respect me.
Yeah, and I know that you would never intentionally hurt me.
Right.
You'd never try to score points on me.
Exactly.
Right.
And so we need to teach our kids, too, that the level of relationship makes a difference. If you've got a really close friend, and you've been a close friend for years, and you can tease him, and he teases you, and everybody's right. laughing and smiling, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the new kid in the group, you can't tease him. You don't have a relationship with him.
No, you need to build trust.
You build trust because the only way that you can joke with someone and it not be hurtful is on a basis of trust and love.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly
because
right.
I know that if you point out my faults with a chuckle and a raised eyebrow, that yep. it's because... that you love me so much that it's like, and look, this is the special thing that's mm-hmm. different about this diamond. It's not,
yes.
look, here's the fatal flaw, you know?
Right, right. Well, okay, so we started off talking about an article that was in the New York Times. Let's shift and look at another branch of the media, the Babylon Bee. Yeah, okay, it's a Christian satire site. Okay, folks,
it is
if you
satire,
folks. It's this is
that
parody.
Means it's not true.
This is not true. Okay, but at any rate, the Babylon Bee had an article posted a while back. It said Christians look forward to questioning each other's salvation after the last debate.
Oh boy.
I've
seen some posts that really got pretty close to that in the past couple of days
well,
on Facebook.
They honestly have, and. We kind of have to ask ourselves, I mean, we're right in the middle of an extremely contentious election and not just a matter of, you know, Democrats and Republicans don't get along, but it's like people in the same party not getting along with each other. It's like
yeah.
there's four or five different poles on this rotating mess of stuff. And it's impacting our church life. You know, we have to be aware of the impact that has on our relationships within the church as well as the community. You know, looking back at what Paul said again, wow, the Corinthian church had so many issues. You know, Paul had to deal with so many things. And he points out that where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?
Or in 2 Corinthians 12, he said, mm-hmm. he was worried lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, tumults. You know, he was...
Yeah.
Have to treat each other like brothers and sisters in Christ.
You know, Jesus...
And yeah. It is hard to understand. Well, sometimes my friends say things and I think, how on earth could you believe that? Can't you see how foolish that is?
Yeah, don't you know where that leads? Haven't you seen that that's been tried and proven false? And yeah, and yet, you know, ultimately, when Wednesday comes this week and the election is done, or maybe it won't quite be done, who knows? But at any rate, when the election is over, we still have the relationships in the church.
Yeah.
We still have our citizenship in heaven, which ultimately trumps all of our earthly citizenships.
Right.
And so we
and
need
our earthly affiliations.
We need to remember that, recognize that, that, you know, it's tough. It's tough. I know I got challenged on something just recently that got all of my patriotic hackles raised. And I realized, you know what? I'm going to keep mum about this because biblically speaking, that's not important. That is, you know, what they was talking about. I don't have to defend that. I don't have to take up arms and cudgels about it because, biblically speaking, it could go either way.
Now, me on the other hand, I didn't have that much sense. But anyway.
But,
you know, this is a really good Bible verse, a couple of verses for our kids to memorize about this, Al.
Uh-huh.
The law is fulfilled in this one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. That's Galatians 5, 14 and 15.
Wow. Wow. That's, okay, that's a tough one. Yeah. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, certainly we love ourselves, but to reach out to our neighbor and to say, you know what, we don't have to agree on everything for me to love you, to show you Christian mercy, to give you the benefit of the doubt, to protect your reputation, all of those kind of things. You know, somebody shared this with me years and years and years ago, and I've thought about it, that Jesus pointed out, Jesus gave to his disciples before he left them, he said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And that's in John chapter 13.
So you know, our love for each other is a mark of Christianity.
That the world from the outside can look in at the church and see how do they get along together. And they see all of these, if they see all of these believers within the church snapping and biting and devouring and chewing each other up, then the world is entitled to say, maybe they're not real about this Christian thing. You know, I thought God was all about love and I don't see much love in their midst.
But they'll know that we're Jesus's disciples if we have love for one another.
And you know what? I think about in 1 Corinthians 13, when Paul talks about love, when he says love is patient, love is kind, and all of the rest of those kind of things, I think he says those things because naturally we are not patient.
We're not
naturally,
kind.
We are not kind. We are not long-suffering. And when Jesus says you've got to love one another, it's easy if we're just bubbling over with warm feeling and bonhomie and everything else, but that love shows when, you know what, I have no idea why you voted for that person, but I'm going to love you anyway. I have no idea why you just said that, but I'm going to assume you meant the best. That's what the love is. When the love becomes harder, that's when it really shows.
Yeah. Now, before we leave, Hal, we need to tell folks.
Yes.
We've got a new website. We've completely redesigned our website.
Yes. Go to raisingrealmen.com.
And if you are not on our newsletter list, you need to get on our newsletter list. You can sign up right there on the front page because we are introducing new and awesome products every day right now, practically.
And you know what? You may be listening to this in the archives months and months and months from now, but guess what? We have lots of products in the pipeline that are going to be coming up in this Christmas season and in the spring of next year and into next summer. you know, that's something that we do. We're always trying to develop new resources to help you make biblical family life a practical thing in your own home.
So head out to RaisingRealMen.com, check out the website. Be sure to hit shop and look at the resources. We've got great stuff out there. Lots of character building gifts.
Mm-hmm. So with that, I think we need to wrap things up and say we really appreciate you spending some time with us and hope you'll be back with us again. Remember this, sticks and stones may break your bones, but names can hurt so much more. Yes. And so train your kids not to be name callers, not to be blasphemers, not to be character assassins. And hey, by the way, let's not do that ourselves either.
To be kind to one another. And you know, what I've been teaching my daughters is it says that one of the marks of a godly woman is the law of kindness rules our tongues.
Wow. Okay. Well, with that, thanks so much for listening. I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
We'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.